That's Francis W.
Hi, group. My name is Francis, and I'm an addict. I love y'all too. I need y'all. I like to first thank the God of my understanding for giving me an opportunity to be here. And I thank, that's somebody from 5th and H in Washington, D.C. She was in one of them alleys with me. We go way, way back. Mookie. But it's really a really an honor. And I thank the committee for giving me an opportunity to come and share a couple of minutes in my experience. I also want to thank the people that are here who got experience with staying in the relationship past the expiration date. Because when I go to a convention and I look at my booklet, the meetings, the titles is what, because I can identify. And I'm just going to share my experience. And I got several experiences while I'm here that I'm going to share on, and the one is the addiction, because they said that in order for a new person to feel like they belong, they need to hear an experience. So I can go into the relationship because that's the hit that got most of the seats filled. Come on. All right, let's take a poll. How many people had this experience? Raise your hand. One of the predecessors, Doreen Carmelita, taught me that. They was like, all you have to do is tell them to take a poll and take a poll in the meeting, and honest people are going to raise their hand because they done been there. And what that does is that removed the spirit of intimidation, because this is a spiritual program. And we all operating from different levels. That's why we have each other. So we can teach each other. So whoever was in it, coming out of it, still in it, our responsibility is to love people right where they at. The literature says we have no right to tell anybody where they need to be at in their process. But to love them where they are. And I also, had an unwilling spirit. I was like, the fear kind of creeped in. And I said, God, you know what William P. shared last night? The disease is real little. It'll make you think you have to be something more than you are. And all you have to do is be who you are, it'll tell you you're not capable of sharing that. You're not emotionally ready to share it. You don't need to do it. But one person that came in mind, and the way they formulated the workshops is they kind of don't let you know who you're sharing with. And that's kind of a good thing, because I know for me, being honest, sometimes principles overpower personalities, okay? Which we want it to be, but the personalities can overpower the principle. Come on with me. I ain't going to that workshop because I'm beefing with her because she used to go with him. Come on. All right. And so it's a good thing, anonymous. And when I didn't want to, so at the last minute, I was at a meeting at the VA hospital, and the guy asked me, said, you going to do the guy that's been pressing me. He was calling me on the phone. I was like checking the call ID. I wasn't going to pick the phone up. I was like, I don't feel like doing it. I was excited about doing it a couple of months ago. 6 months or so. And as the closer it got to doing it, I said, I ain't going to do it, And I happened to be, tell an addict, if you want some news, just tell an addict, one. Well, I found out that my spiritual mentor was doing the meeting with me. And when I say spiritual mentor, I had went through a phase just recently where we didn't say we was going to meet each other, but and if I stare in your face, it is because it's really kind of hard looking all over. And it's sometimes I have to keep attracted to a warm spirit because my mind will move over. I'm one of those people that can't have the windshield wiper loud music and all that going at the same time. I'm one of them kind of people, So I got to spoke, you know, old time. I said, just focus, just, you know, smiles. And, you know, because you'll pick up somebody else's pain and think you ain't saying something right. And I'm just supposed to carry the message, not the addict. You know what I'm saying? And this addict need the most help. That's why I'm here. You know, because God said you got an assignment. You got an assignment. You know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, you tried. That little teeny word my sponsor helped me to identify. Tried to carry the message. That'll move your ego out the way that you think that everybody got to get what you got to say. They might just get it in relationships meeting down the hall. You know, just do your small part. And that's what y'all did for me. And so I had these appointments with the next speaker, and he was helping me, and he was praying with me, and he was talking to me, and I had an unwilling spirit at that time. So when I heard I was doing the meeting with my brother here, it was so awesome. It was just more just a desire to want to come. And then he's going to share. Good God Almighty. And we back home know it. And also, don't let me stop. Let me just stop right here. I ain't hating y'all. DC, I love y'all. I ain't hating y'all. You know, and New York, thank y'all for keeping me together a whole lot of time, right? Philadelphia, Baltimore, California, yeah, so let me go here. I got kind of caught up there. But I had to acknowledge my home because these people are so loving and caring and judgmental. I ain't up here playing, y'all. Come on. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we keep each other together. You know, that is just how we keep each other together, because this is not a program where we're going to walk in perfection at all times. And thank God the gift is from God. That's the reason you can't, or nobody can take it away from you. You know, because it is a gift. You'll give it up. And at times I've tried to give the gift up. You know, the disease will manifest itself in other areas. So though I might have not have shot no dope in my neck, you know, to the new baby, I'm going with staying in that relationship past the expiration date. And I'm just going to do a little clarity, just a little teeny bit, because sometimes when I used to go to conventions and there used to be people sharing, and I was new, I was like, I don't understand because I was new. You know, I was new. The literature talked about I was living in a lifestyle at the end. I was standing around the fire barrel. Now, it did not mean I didn't have anywhere to go, but it was some dope that was killing people in D.C. An addict hugged me and said, oh, I needed to hug a crazy person today. You know, I was like, thanks, you know, and from my home area. And I was in a coma. And got out the coma and said, where did I get that dope at last night? You know, I would, at the end, you know, in the beginning it was in junior high school, and, you know, the teacher told me, he said, as long as you don't disturb my class, you can smoke all the marijuana you want to. So me and my girlfriends smoked all the marijuana we wanted to, and we didn't disturb his class except for when we started laughing when people was trying to work and do stuff in the music class, and we got put out the class. You know, and then the disease progressed, and they say dreams do come true. That is the theme of our convention, and I am so grateful because I have been, I don't know if I skipped a little bit. I know I'm got a little anxiety, a little nervous, but I'm going to go back a little bit. You catch up with me at any point you want to. But I was talking about those experiences and wanting to be someplace when it wasn't my time. Anybody ever been there? You know, you want to be out of something, but it ain't your time yet. So I was here wanting to be here, but I wasn't here. You know, it's like eating dinner with the relationship, and they already gone. It's like you're sitting there with a ghost. But you won't go because a whole lot of reasons. Abandonment issues. You might think it's a half partner when it was supposed to be your commitment partner. You know, now it turned to a half partner. You know, all of those kind of things. So, you know, and so I got here when I was supposed to get here. And I went to Dreams Do Come True, and I was just getting ready to say thank y'all for loving me where I'm at, because that, you know, I had a topic one year here at the convention, and I haven't been here in a couple of years, and the topic was secret lies and alibis. And they had almost fire marshals at the back of the door because my girlfriend Olivia from D.C. told everybody I was doing a meeting called Secret Lies and Videotapes. And so everybody who came up to me now asking me, what's your topic? I was like, don't listen to Olivia, whatever she said, because I didn't know what she might say this year. But I know that what I was just trying to get to, you all loving me from every area, for who I was when I got here, for what I was while I was here, and for who I am now that I'm still here. And in 85, that was where it was a power. That power that we talk about that's greater than us that say it's time. It's time. All right, now I'm in junior high, the dream come true. Now I'm shooting dope. But I done got pregnant, because there are other things that I have picked up along with the dollar capsule of heroin. Dope was a dollar when I started. And there was a drink called Orange Flip. The sounds you just heard, audience, were old alcoholic and addicts. Them old ones be hand dancing tonight. But we can identify. So what I'm just trying to say is the drugs is all inclusive. Because crack is a not yet. It's a not yet. You know, and so now I'm jumped. I'm pregnant. And dreams do come true. And this disease is a family disease, and my son is in recovery today.
That's right.
You know. And I'm allowing him to have his process because the brothers got him. You know what I mean? And his aunts and his family. You know, look, the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. He said, Mom, could you please stop telling everybody they my aunt? I might be trying to go. I'm 37 years old. Every time you introduce me to somebody, you get all these aunts, and this my aunt, and this my aunt, and my nephew's here. Those tapes that you've heard me talk about, those pains of family members, you know what I'm saying? As a result of you all loving me, my family's here. You know, and it's really excited, and that was another reason why I wanted to come, is because this is their first convention. You know, and yours too. Oh, welcome. And so I'm in this relationship with this drug, these drugs, because I'm going to prescription doctors, and everything in this relationship is saying it's over. And I'm saying, but maybe if I just put something else on top of it. You know how I used to mix another drug on top of another drug, and then you got the good government jobs, and you still can put your little clothes on, and you know, all of that, you're still functioning. And the denial is setting in, and you don't know that, you know, that you got a problem. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I masked my disease for a long time. Masked it for a long time. They talk about that. We were to put the masses on and talk about titles rather than the sickness that's under the title. You know, and when I looked up, I was standing, I always found people that use. I was standing on it, I was at the Department of Justice working as a legal secretary, and I found the maintenance men. And I hope ain't nobody in here from the feds. But no, and the old building down there is the Department of Justice, and we were smoking reefer and blowing all up, you know, through them stairways all up in there. But you know what? We found the roof. So, you know, maintenance people know where to go. They be drinking and all that kind of stuff. And you know what was on the other side of the street that I never knew? The FBI building. Check that out. The relationship. Francis. Come on. And they talk about the disease progressing. So no longer now is it fun. You know, you got half the day? Okay, girl, meet me. Now it's, I'm trying to, everything that's coming in my path is a victim. Even diabetic father, because I'm shooting dope. And I needed his insulin needles. And I needed brand new needles because I couldn't get a hit. So now you can see I done started burning out major organs as well as veins. And, you know, I didn't stop because this was in there. So I do meetings for women because this is 12-step work. I don't work for y'all no more for real. I work for God. See, I don't know where he might use me at. I just tell him I'm willing. That's why I say, God, just don't let show be here. Just let me say something because maybe somebody might be where I was and where I've been and where I'm going. You know, and it's like, now I'm talking to little girls who pregnant, who are using and in the grips of this disease. I got a job at the summer, in the summer before I got pregnant with a talk show host, Petey Green, and it was a summer program to help the little children in the neighborhood to stay away from drugs and alcohol. And I got caught smoking marijuana in the bathroom with my girlfriend. And when I got back around there, the counselor asked, I got caught. You know, didn't I catch y'all in there? Didn't I tell you them? I started stuff. My girlfriends and them, it wasn't me. It was them and, you know, whatever. And snitching. And I had to get out of that. You know how you get in a tight spot? I got out of it. Little did I know, I was going to be asked to come and be a youth counselor. But how can you give somebody something that you don't have? They say an honest message rings clear to another dope fiend. So I'm talking to these little children about what drugs and alcohol would do and taking my little $50, $60 check and going to the corner and buying dollar capsules. I was so glad when I heard the topic, talking clean and living dirty. Awesome for me. And I'm trying to, but today, dreams do come true. That is what I do. I work with children. And that's what I share with them. My experience, my strength, and my hope. So the disease is progressing. The baby's there. I'm in the hospital. They induced labor so that the baby wouldn't be born with drugs in his system. And I leave and I go right back to what's familiar. Now I'm ODing. I'm going to push it on a little further. And one thing I wanted to say about to the new person to sort of just bring them in again, staying in the relationship past the expiration date, it's like having a driver's license. And on the driver's license is a date. And they give you an expiration date, and then they say, come and get your license renewed. Follow me? If you don't get the license renewed, there's a penalty. If you continue to drive, if you're anything like me and the people, them hand-dancing old dope fiends that was shouting, if you're anything like me, you'll try to do everything not to renew. You'll change the face on the license. You'll try to type over the date. Anything but letting it go and going to get it renewed. After you get to doing all of the masses and trying to cover up the old license, what happens is you wind up and you get charged. Now you're locked up, and what I'm just trying to do is paint a picture of being in bondage with self. Because I refuse to go and renew the license. Now, I'm not talking about a driver's license. I'm talking about the experience, but I'm just trying to paint a small picture.
Excuse me, guys. The fire marshal, we are, like, breaking several rules because we have people that are on the walls. So we just have gotten our notice that if you're not in a seat, you have to leave. That's true. The fire marshal will shut down the whole convention.
That's okay. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm going to let them go. That's working on something. You know that? Because we have to protect our name. It's Narcotics Anonymous. And that's what this is all about. The only thing I was trying to do was I was just trying to have an opportunity to let them move because, again, just like I said, I'm one of those people that movement distracts me. I don't know if anybody's been there. And I was just trying to concentrate a little bit. But we have to abide by rules. You know, we don't own Ocean City. They just gave us a part of it for the weekend, you know. And so getting back to that, I was just kind of saying, and so what happened was I'm now going to go into relationships. I'm going to go into the area of relationships. When I was in a relationship, and I'm going to talk about the one that really took me to the sixth step, being entirely ready to have God remove these defects of characters. Now, I've seen some things in my fourth step. I dealt with abandonment issues. I was dealing with the fear of letting go, the fear of the unknown. And what happened was, during the time that I was getting ready to get out of this relationship, y'all heard of that woman, Lorena Bobbitt? Tell you something. Somebody said, what about him? I was so obsessed. You know what I'm saying? And you could tell when the relationship is over. I mean, there's no communication. You're sneaking off with other people to feel what you want to get at home. One is too many and 1,000 is never enough. God ain't nowhere in this because I'm running this now. And I'm operating on my own self-will. And it's like when you get out of one, before you can even breathe, you're in another one. Now I'm just talking about me. You know, and another thing, let me say this. Our literature says something is so awesome. It says we don't care about your sexual preference, your race, creed, color. All we want to know about is what we can do and how we can help you with your problem. You know, and I wanted to say that because oftentimes I noticed that it's so very important, and our literature alludes to that, that in order to be able to help somebody, you have to, it's like the fifth step. Healing can only take place when you get a glimpse in the eyes of another person. You can't get people's information when they're in the grips and go take it and spread it around to everybody else, and you're supposed to be sponsoring them. Sometimes staying in the relationship with unhealthy people who's supposed to be guiding you in your life, you have to pray on it, and God will do what he has to do to remove people. And it's all right. I'm not saying I'm going to be hating on you. All I'm saying is I need somebody to help me to get out of the grips because Because now it's like the name has changed, but the pain is still the same. And I don't know about you, but I can see the spirit of desperation. And the scent will follow you. You can smell desperation when it walk in the room. And I ain't talking about how you dress, because some people come with just what they got. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the scent. I'm talking about having time. And then I realized it wasn't so much as I was addicted to the man. I was addicted with the emotion, the man, and the sound. You can get addicted to sounds. You say it's a feeling disease, but you're addicted to the sound. Ugh. I'm flashing. You understand what I'm trying to say? So help me walk through this process so that I can be of maximum service. You understand what I'm saying? And then let me just say this for somebody who might be a little bit uncomfortable. It didn't matter who it was. Your time, your age, your color, your creed, your sex. What do you want to do about your problem? How can I help? And that sixth step says that you will get in a position that will be so painful. So now y'all thought I was playing. When that relationship, God was trying to work with me. And when that relationship was ending, you know what I'm saying? It was like, please let me know when it's my time. You will, won't you? Okay. Because I don't want to run into his time. And I'm trying to tell y'all, Lorena Bobbitt had just took the body parts off of a person from the waist down, and it sounded like a good idea. It was all on the news. They fired people was trying to find the penis on the highway. Hope no children are in here. And I mean, I was sick. And I said, God, please help me. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, please help me. And I don't know what I would have done without y'all. I don't know what I would have done without y'all. I thank God. I got a couple of minutes. And I always like to bring some kind of literature with me. So the next 3 minutes that I have, 3 to 5 minutes, they said, I was reading in the Just for Today, and I'm just going to share this. It's going to take like a minute. We feared that if we ever revealed ourselves as we were, we would surely be rejected. Having relationships without barriers, one in which we can be entirely open with our feelings, is something many of us desire. At the same time, the possibility of such intimacy causes us more fear than almost any other situation in life. If we examine what frightens us, we will usually find that we are attempting to hide an aspect of our personalities that we are ashamed of. An aspect we sometimes haven't even admitted to ourselves. We don't want others to know of our insecurities, our pain, or our neediness, so we simply refuse to expose them. We may imagine that if no one knows about our imperfections, those imperfections will cease to exist. This is the point where our relationships stop. Anyone who enters our lives will not get past the point at which our secrets begin. To maintain intimacy in a relationship, it is essential that we acknowledge our defects and accept them. When we do, the fortress of denial erected to keep these things hidden will come crashing down, enabling us to build our relationships with others. And it says, just for today, I have opportunities to share my inner self. I will take advantage of those opportunities and draw closer to those I love. The sixth step, and it works how and why, says, our job is to become entirely ready and to open our hearts and our minds to the deep internal changes that only can be brought about by the presence of a loving God. And I wanted to share that because I realized that the experiences that I am going through and that I had to go through, I had an opportunity to give myself some time to be with myself, and I didn't look for my partner. I thank God that my partner came to me. You know, dreams do come true. And not only am I just coming to meetings, but I'm in counseling with my partner today. You know, my spiritual father, who's over my life. You all said I can share my fifth step with whomever I need to share my fifth step with. So I take the opportunity to share my fifth step. And what has happened in my life as a result of asking God to help me with this defect that has caused me pain and misery all of my life, when the expiration date is over and I still want to hold on, I got to examine the low self-esteem, to feel out, why do you feel like you're so unworthy? I had to give myself some time to be with me, and I found out I like me and I love me. You know, I hug me. I take care of me. I tell me I need to be taken care of today so I don't have to go and fix you, because I used to do drive-by shelters. You know what I mean? That ain't supposed to come out. You know, like find the person that needed the most fixing, and that's who I want to hook up with, because it's better to fix you than to fix me. Because I didn't have time to work on me because it was important, or even pretend, because you needed to know that I had to have a man on my side to feel whole in Narcotics Anonymous. And that wasn't what it was all about. It was about, Francis, you came here, I got you here, and I'm going to expose all of those things about you. And I'm so glad that I'm used for topics like that. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't carry the guilt and shame of not being able to talk about me. It's so much more easier to talk about me than you. And when I can't talk about me, I give you all the opportunity to talk about me, because it keeps me moving so that he can use me in 11. He said, I'm going to give you the power. I'll give you the power. We were powerless. We admitted we were powerless in 1. But in 11, he said, I'll give you the power to carry out my will. But you got to know what my will is. You got to know my will. So you got to come and meet me in 3. And so I got a relationship. This morning I talked to him. Then he took me to another place while I was talking to him. I said, God, thank you. Just God, just let me be who I am and keep working on me. And that's why when people want to say you're popular and you're famous, you're loved. Yeah. You're loved. You know, because we are about loving one another. We are all we got. I love y'all. I pray to God that I did what he allowed me to do. And I'm going to give y'all my brother Teddy.
Thank you, Francis. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, and that's Teddy A.
I'm an addict named Ready Teddy. And I'm ready. First, giving honor, glory, and praise to my God, because he's worthy to be praised. And if you walk in my shoes, you'll know why I have the right to praise him. You know, I would like to thank this committee for, after Francis said yes, after Francis said yes, and 5 other people say no, they took a risk on me. You know what I mean? I thank God that I got clean in Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? They might not let us become a state, But the program of Narcotics Anonymous in Washington, D.C. is like a tree planted by the sea. We shall not and we will not be moved. I see my sponsor here, my grand sponsor, my sponsees, network, home group members, even a couple of colleagues waiting patiently for me to share about how my wife escaped. You know, when I bought into the fact that Narcotics Anonymous was the place for me, the topic of relationship was one of the most used excuses for people to relapse. But I'm one of them firm believers that you use because you want to use. See, I used to be the president of the United Association of Relapse. I remember my first treatment, still had a little material stuff. I went to treatment in Richmond, Virginia. And my partner drove down with the Cadillac to pick me up. He had a 16-ounce slit smoked liquor bull and a joint of reefer. And I remember taking a hit off that joint of reefer, saying, man, I think this treatment shit might work. No, I ain't even left the parking lot yet. You know, I went back to that same treatment center. I said, well, D.C. is my problem. I'm going to make a geographical change. I stayed clean for 3 days. That's how long it took for me to find out where the dope was in Richmond. So now I got evidence that wherever you go, you care you with you. No, I remember when I first started, they told me to say, don't get in a relationship until you got 1 year clean. I said, y'all got to be out your mind. Because that definitely does not apply to me. Because I am a player from the Himalaya. international player. You know, that do not apply to me. So I spotted my victim. I hit on her and she say, well, you know I'm gay. She said, so what, I'm happy. And I end up putting a full coat press on them. Full coat press. And I'll never forget the night we went to the motel. She took her clothes off and the air conditioning came on automatic. I said, yes, sir, it's going to be smoking in here. Mindful now, I'm one of those praying guys. I had got down on my knees and prayed. I said, God, please send me the perfect female. And that's exactly what God did. Sent me one perfectly insane. No. 3 months later, I was on my knees again. God, you better get her. But I'm gonna kill her. And I like to make this statement to my brothers, to the men of Narcotics Anonymous. A man got two heads, one full of dreams and one full of cream. It's up to you which one you want to put the focus on. But if you let that one below your waist dictate your behavior, you are listening to one of the dumbest things that God ever made. I'm going to tell you why. He got a head with no brain. One eye that can't see. Hang out with two nuts. And live around the corner from my asshole. I need a tip. I'm gonna turn it back like this. There you go, have it. Now, keep on listening to it, and you will have the ability to share your experience, strength, and hope too. Because when my turn came, oh, it hurt me so bad. And back in those days, they didn't give you no sympathy, no pity. It was tough love all the way across the board. So I sat my little dirty butt down and became open-minded and willing to do what was suggested to me by this program. I want to share about a relationship that I was involved in that every time I got with her, she made me feel so good. I mean, she never failed. Every time I thought I was on heaven right here on earth. But one day, she turned her back on me. And I'm talking about the relationship I was in with my disease of addiction. You know, everything was cool in the game till one day I ran out of cop money. They made a movie about that situation. Houston, we got a problem. And as a result, I started touring the United States of America, courtesy of the federal government, trying to keep her as part of my life. And every time I went before the judge, not one time did the judge ask me how I was feeling. He always judged me about what I had done. I understand that the disease of addiction is classified as a feeling disease, but my behavior is what caused me the most hardship. I ain't never seen no feelings walk up to nobody and ask for a working 50. I've been clean for over 14 years, and I just realized why they call it a working 50. Because you got to work like hell to get another $50. And then I realized that she had me working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No sick leave, no annual leave, no vacation, no health insurance, just pain and misery every day. People used to come and tell you, he said, man, this ain't you. Why don't you stop? But I just couldn't leave her alone. Thank God for sponsorship. My sponsor knew how sick I was when I started this process. He used to talk to me in pictures. In other words, I saw what he was talking about. He said, to you, when somebody came to tell you to stop using, what did it mean to you? I said, well, I thought it meant slow down. You know? So he told me this story. Addict riding down the street, run to the stop sign and slow down, and kept on going. Police pull him to the side and say, sir, did you see that stop sign? So you know how arrogant we get sometimes. Well, sir, didn't you see me slow down? So the police officer say, well, sir, that's a stop sign, not a slow down sign. Would you be so kind to get out the car? Ag get out the car. Police grab him by the collar and start beating him upside the head. So the police say, now I ask you, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down? I got that message clear. To the newcomer, absolutely nothing, nothing at all gonna happen positive in your life if you don't stop. All the information that you're gonna leave here with this beautiful convention, flying high spiritually, it ain't gonna do you a bit of good if you don't stop. You're talking about being caught in the grips of something that have paid a high price for low living. I mean, I had got comfortable at a bottom. I remember sleeping in my condominium. So y'all don't know, that's a vacant car, ain't going nowhere. All my worthy goods was in the trunk of the car. I come home one day, and I got me a nice 20. And they had evicted me from my condominium by towing it away. Now, I am real angry at this time because everything I own was in my condominium. But what really upset me was my stem was in that car. Now I'm really angry. Because, see, I was always a cutter bug. Always kept me a stem and some choy boy. So now I'm reduced to have to smoke out of a can. I seen a couple of y'all low-lifers smoking off of a can. So I knew the process. I had no problem because I had a safety pin holding up my pants. So I takes the pin, I put the hose in the can, and I say, damn, I ain't got no cigarettes. So I breaks in a car, and I steal the ashtray. He got a real nice CD player, but I ain't got time for that CD player. I need them ashes. Now y'all talking about that in a relationship past the expiration date, baby. This is it. No. So I put my ashes on the can and I fires up. And out the clear blue sky, three bumblebees show up on the inside of the can. Now, here they go commencing the stinging of me on my lips. After I done fired up. So now I got to make a conscious decision. So after having a group conscious with myself, I chose to keep on smoking. I ain't going with no crack. And man, when I finished my 20, my lips look like an inner tube. All the time, God's sending me signs, food, it's time to get out of this game here. Yeah. That done told your coddle minimum way, you ain't got nowhere to stay, you ain't got no walls or nothing, what you gonna do now? So I found me a banner minimum. Cut some electricity on in that sucker and start charging to come up in that banner like I was a landlord. Now I'm hustling big time now. But one day I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got down on my knees and said a prayer known as the sinner's prayer. Simply goes, Lord, have mercy on me. That day was January the 6th, 1991, and I ain't found it necessary to use any drugs since that day. And I'm going to talk about a relationship I have no intentions of ever getting out.
That's right.
Because the day I die, I'm going to give my God the praise for me being clean today. I heard a whole lot of sharing in this convention, and it's a good convention. But I'm here to report that none of us, absolutely none of us, will be here without the God's grace and mercy. Because on that day, January the 6th, 1991, I felt like Martin Luther King at the Monument Grounds in Washington, D.C., saying I'm free at last, free at last. Thank God about it, I'm free at last. I don't belong to the disease of addiction no more. I'm a man now and I know who I am and whose I am. The disease can't get me no more. I know you're still out there lurking, creeping and peeping, slipping and sliding. But you need to get your ass out of Ocean City this weekend here, because we're going to tear your ass up in here. Yeah. Yeah. Tell you, it's time for us to get honest in here. If anybody sitting here right now think you got here any other way but through the grace of God, you done missed the boat already. You know what I mean? I don't care what you call your God. When I came in here, I heard somebody talk old stupid stuff. Make a God your chair. Or a light bulb your chair. Or a doorknob your chair. Where your God gonna be at when that chair break? Where he gonna be at when that light bulb blow out like they usually do? Everybody in this room here showed an act of faith when you walked in this room, because I was sitting here watching. I didn't see nobody walk in this room, pick the chair up and turn it upside down to see if the screws screwed in tight or not. Everybody in here sat their ass down because they knew that chair was going to do what it's supposed to do. And God going to do the same thing. If you want him, you call him, he going to show up and he going to show out. They say the disease of addiction is threefold. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Your faith must be threefold. First, you must have faith in God. You must have faith in the program called Narcotics Anonymous. And you must have faith in yourself. You could do this here. This ain't nothing compared on the other side of the fence. The work ain't hard and the boss ain't mean here. You know, I'm going to tell you this story about faith. There's a mountain called Mount Everett. Many teams of mountain climbers has climbed Mount Everett. But this one individual wanted to be the only person that goes in the Genesis Book of Records as climbing Mount Everett solo. So he begins his climb, and right before he get to the top of the mountain, his foot slipped on a rock. and he began to descend, bouncing back and forth off the mountain, breaking ribs, breaking his arms, breaking his leg. But by him being a professional mountain climber, he had a safety rope. And before he hit the bottom, the safety rope caught him before he fell all the way to the ground. Now it's time to get spiritual. Mama can't help you in a situation like this. Daddy can't help you in a situation like this. So he sends up a prayer. God, please help me. And a voice from nowhere says, turn loose the rope. Well, he didn't like that answer too tough. So he sent up the prayer again. God, please help me. And once again, the voice says, turn loose the rope. About 6 days later, a team of mountain climbers came through the trail. They found a guy hanging on to the rope, frozen to death. He was 6 inches from the ground. All he had to do, turn loose the rope. Newcomer, drop the rock. The day can be the beginning for the rest of your natural life. You too can be joyous, happy, and free. Nobody gonna tell you that the road gonna be easy. But if you hold on, keep going on, everything gonna be all right. Trials and tribulations gonna come. Pain gonna come. Disappointment gonna come. Heartaches gonna come. But everything gonna be all right. I'd like to leave you with this message here. If it's everybody present right now in a relationship, knowing that it's past the expiration date, get rid of their ass and get another. Thanks for letting me share.